take your Bibles and turn in the book of Luke. Surprise, surprise, chapter 1. That's kind of where we're going to be today. Familiar story to all of us, I'm sure. But we're not going to start there. I want to start this morning a little bit unusual way in that yesterday a true man of God went home to be with Jesus. His name is Reinhard Bonnke. He was one of the world's great evangelists. As I was looking at what he had done, I have friends who know him very, very well because most of his preaching was done in Africa, and he did it from tip to tip. He went places where he was under death threats from extremists. He went to places where the villages told him that he couldn't come. He just went to where the need was, and he preached Jesus. He was based out of the United States. One of the most fascinating facts that I read yesterday that I wasn't even aware of, he has 76 million signed decision cards. When you and I go to heaven, how are you going to compare to that? You can't. He didn't call you to it. What he called you to do is reach the one. And most of us aren't prepared to do that. We'll talk to our saved friends all the time about Jesus. But we find it difficult, or we're too busy to tell everybody else about Jesus. I believe God wants to change that in this body. Look at all the holes. Now, I know people are gone for the holidays, and I understand that. But in the Advent season, which we don't typically follow, but the Lord has prompted me to do that this year, and so we're kind of looking at what it means. And we titled the message today, Called to Prepare. Beloved, Jesus is coming back. Whether you're ready or not, whether we're ready or not, or whether they're ready or not, Jesus is returning. And it's going to be a surprise to all of us. Not some of us, but all of us. But imagine if you lay your head down and you've done what the Lord has asked you to do and you step into the presence of Jesus, not thinking I failed because I'm not Reinhard Bonnke, but Lord, I have done, multiplied what you gave me, not what you gave to others, not what I wish I had, not if I had that, I would do more. It's I did with what I had, and I multiplied it. There's lots of scriptures that talk about that. But one of the things that I believe that God wants to do in this season is not only awaken hope in us, because if we walk around depressed all the time, how in the world are other people going to have the joy of the Lord? We'll talk about joy next week. This week we're talking about, we're called to prepare. All of us are called to prepare. All of us are called to let the Lord have control of our lives and everything in our life. Amen? I was talking to a young man this morning who's got a job. And he came to me and he said he got his first check and he cashed his first check. And he told me how much he was going to put in the offering. That's awesome. He said, well, the tithe would only be this. But I didn't have any change, so I'm just going to put this in. I said, keep doing that all your life. If all you're doing is counting the pennies on your tithe. Jesus doesn't own you, and you are not prepared to let him guide you. Because you're doing what's the minimum that he requires, not the all that he desires. Amen? And so, that's kind of what we want to talk about this morning as we look at this. First verse isn't going to be from Luke. It's from Malachi. I did put it in the slide, so you'll see it this morning. But it's from Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his people, or his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. Isn't that a great verse? Because in the Old Testament, the temple was a place that you went to. In the New Testament, you're the place that he wants to come to. Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Some of us are abusing the temple. You can laugh. We keep the temple pretty sloppy sometimes. But this is what he says in the Old Testament. Behold, I send my messenger, small m, before me. He will prepare the way before me. This isn't Jesus. This is somebody else. That somebody is yet to be born. And between Malachi and the New Testament, there's about 500 years, 450, 500 years. 500 years. How do you like waiting? How much do you like waiting? Lord, you've given us these promises. Now, come on. You have to show up and do it in my time frame. You got to do it my way. You got to do it on my time. Everything's got to be perfect to make this happen. Some of us do Christmas that way. Got to have a perfect Christmas tree. Got to have perfect. And then the cat gets in the tree. Or the kids. Whatever. All of a sudden, Christmas is ruined because the tree fell over. Broke grandma's favorite globe. Pitched the cat out the door, or the kid out the door. Grandma's globe, you ruined it. In the snowbank you go. We focus on the wrong things, amen? Small m messenger. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Us, even the messenger, capital M, the messenger of the covenant. The first messenger isn't the messenger of the covenant. He's the messenger for the messenger of the covenant. The one who will prove that God alone can make us whole and forgive us. We're going to leave that up there for a minute. 1978 was a monumental year for Sandy and me. I had just returned from deployment in Guam, and Sandy had come home about 8 weeks earlier than I was, and she had set up house again. And when I say she came home to Mississippi. She was born and raised in Illinois, but she didn't come back to Mama and Daddy. She came back to where we were stationed, and she set up our apartment and took that time to set up our home in the place that the Lord had sent us via the Navy. Now, I don't know if you guys understand this about the military, but you don't have a whole lot of choice when you're on my side of this, because when the Navy tells you to go, you go. And when they tell you to come, you come. You don't get to, well, I don't feel like going to Puerto Rico this week. I don't feel like going to St. Thomas. I really don't want to go to ADAC. Who wants to go to Guam? That's thousands of miles from anywhere. I just don't feel like it. I don't know if it works in today's military, but it didn't work in the military when I went in. We think when we join ourselves to the Lord, we get to decide when and where we go. Sandy didn't do that. She went back down, established our apartment, connected to our church. You've met our pastors that were there then. They've been here a number of times. And they welcomed her back into the family and did all those things. And then I came home about 8 weeks after Sandy was there. And I was on base one day and the phone rang where I was working at that point. And it was Sandy, and she was just all bubbly and excited. And she said, I'd like you to come home for lunch. And I don't often eat lunch. But who wouldn't go home to lunch if you knew Sandy was preparing lunch? Amen? You know, the meal is worth the sacrifice. You come off base and you just go to lunch. And so I came home and I went to lunch. And as I walked through the door, I took about two steps into the living room, and this blue streak comes running out of the kitchen, jumps up, wraps her legs around me, wraps her arms around my neck, holds on tight, hugs me, kisses me. I know none of you guys that are married like this. I was sitting there in heaven. I didn't care what was going on at that point. Yahoo! Lunch and a kiss. It doesn't get better than this. And so she pushes back a little bit. She looks me right in the eye while she's still got her legs around my waist and her arms around my shoulders. And she says to me, "We're going to have a baby." I went into shock. She looked at me and smiled, unwrapped her legs, stood up, ran upstairs and threw up. Our lives changed forever in that one moment. Everything changed in that moment. I was not prepared for that message. Anybody here identify with any of this? Don't raise your hand or anything, but anybody here identify with this? I'm going to be a what? Now, Come with me to Luke chapter 1 and put yourself in Mary's place. You know the story. I'm not going to read the whole story. I'm going to read two verses from this part of Luke. Luke chapter 1, verses 30 and 31. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus." She was betrothed, not yet married. The firstborn son should have been named Joseph, not Jesus. In this one moment, the angel changed her life, threw her life into a place of absolute bewilderment, I'm sure. Can you imagine? You see an angel, this happens, and it's just like what I felt, I think, in a different way, because Mary was about to do something that everybody had been longing for thousands of years. I get to be the mother of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, promised from Genesis until now. I am going to be that mother. I am going to be the bearer of the Son of God. And she was thinking, after we get married, well, you know, once Joseph and I come together, then we're going to have a baby. That's the way it always works. Amen? Anybody here was born by Immaculate Conception? I know some of you probably tried to convince your parents that's how the child came into the world, but it didn't happen that way. Mary, it genuinely happened that way. Can you imagine the thoughts that went through this young woman's mind? 15, 16 years old probably. We don't know. We just know what their culture does. 15, 16 years old. Can you imagine telling mom and dad? Can you imagine letting the culture around you know in a time when having a child outside of marriage was a huge no-no? Unlike today, when that seems to be becoming the norm. This doesn't matter to God. Yes, it does. If we are to hope, we have to prepare to birth that hope out of purity, out of holiness, out of God's purpose and not our own. It doesn't mean that you've failed immeasurably or you can't come to Christ. This was one event, one period in time. Jesus will never be born through a woman again. Here's the point. God chose the woman, not man. God chose the way, not humans, not family, not culture. God chose the way, and God chose the when. He chose the woman, the way, and the when. That's what He did. Is He able to do that in your life? God chose the woman, the way, the when, and God chose the wait. Those are the things, not W-E-I-G-H-T, the W-A-I-T. We try so often to prepare in our circumstances. When Sandy did that to me, everything changed. And oh, the preparations that took place between that announcement and our son's birth and the changes in our lives. Oh my, we left the Navy and moved to South Dakota. 1978, Thanksgiving time. Sandy's 8 months pregnant. We didn't have a job. We didn't have a place to live. There was no nearby family, and we had no church home to go to. When we left Mississippi, we moved there because the Lord told us to move there. Not because it was convenient, not because it was a swag. Our parents thought we were crazy. I'm sure you wouldn't have thought we were crazy, right? How dare you take my daughter who is pregnant with a baby, your baby, and drag her off to the hinterlands of South Dakota. How dare you do that? We have a nice home here in Illinois. We have hospitals and friends and support systems and all that kind of stuff. Think about it. That's what we did, folks. This isn't a made-up story. This is what we did. We didn't even have a house. We had nothing when we moved up there. We moved there because of what the Lord told us to do. Sandy moved to a strange land among strange people without family or close connections, and she was 8 months pregnant with our child. We didn't even know what it was going to be, because in those days, remember, in those days, folks, you didn't know until it showed up. Remember those days? Now we plan everything. Well, I know it's going to be a boy, so I can prepare for everything. I can buy the right bassinet. I can buy the right colors. I can do this. I can buy the right clothes. I can buy the right size. I can do all that because I know. I have pictures of the baby before the baby even shows up. Back in the olden days, we didn't know those things. We didn't know till the baby showed up. Wow, I couldn't live with that. Most of the rest of the world still does. Somehow we think we have to be in control of all these things. Somehow we think the more we know, the happier we're going to be. Until you get a message while that baby's in the womb that things aren't right. And then no matter how much you've prepared for the joy of that child, a single message can mess you up. A number of years ago, we had a lady, well, she's still in our church, she's just living in a nursing home over in Battle Creek. Laverne Stuvey's son and daughter-in-law found out that they were going to have a baby. Oh, there was huge excitement. And then they went to the doctor after so many weeks, and the doctor told them, "We're sorry, your baby only has half a heart. Your baby's going to die. Not your baby might die. Your baby's going to die. So what you need to do is prepare now to have an abortion to kill this child." Immediately, her son called Mom. Mom called us. I said, "We're not going to hold on to that, are we? We're going to believe." The couple chose to keep the child, regardless. Said, "God gave us this child. We don't know what He wants to do with it, but whether she's born with half a heart or a whole heart, or she's born not alive, that's not ours to choose. He put her in us. We are going to birth her and raise her as long as God allows us to do that." Now, I'll shorten the story down and tell you that the doctor stopped seeing them, said, "If you will not do what I tell you, then I will not be your doctor." They said, "Okay, deal." Too many of us would listen to the experts, and instead of preparing with hope, we prepare with understanding, which is limited. And we try to be God instead of trusting God. Mary trusted God. Mary put the whole thing in her hands, in His hands. That's what Mary did. How often do you and I do that? How many times do we listen to the experts, the family members, who tell us what is seemingly wise and right? But are we preparing to obey God, or are we preparing to do what we want to do when we want to do it? Do we want to be in control, or do we want Him to control the outcome? It's one of the things we all struggle with, amen? We all struggle with this. I do. I like being in control of stuff. Ask anybody who knows me. Many of you do too. Some of you are, "Okay, sirrah, sirrah," whatever it will be. But not when it comes to a baby. Not when it comes to that moment. No mother I've ever met is que sera sera, and my wife is no que sera sera. She started preparing from that day. We started buying stuff, and she's going, "I wonder what colors of clothes to buy, and I wonder, you know, all those things that we do, and it's natural, it's normal, and all of that." Mary just looked at this angel and said, "Okay, whatever. I guess, wow, this is amazing." How do you deal with this, folks? What would you do? What would you prepare for in that moment? How would you respond if that was your daughter, not yet married? Who would you assume was the guilty party? Who would you, when somebody mentioned Joseph's name, you would blame Joseph? Why? Because in those days and in that culture, it was the man's responsibility to deal fairly and withhold himself until the marriage. It was the man's responsibility to be a man. Instead of bailing out, walking away. How that has changed in 2,000 years. It was true before that, and it has been true after that in some places, and it's becoming true in America. In some of our places, cities, and different areas of our country, more children are born outside of marriage than inside of marriage. Are those children welcomed? Yes. But is it God's plan? And what kind of preparations do we make for the future? Sandy and I, as we were facing all of these things that we were facing in that year, the first thing we looked for was a church home. Before we ever went looking for a place to live, we went looking for a place to worship. We found Calvary Temple. It wasn't even Calvary Temple at the time. We were meeting in college on the third story of a college in a classroom. We were prepared for worshiping before we were prepared for a baby. The next thing, by God's grace, is we found a little house, 720 square feet of it. And there was hard to find rental properties in those days, and we found it, and the nut rented it to us. I didn't have a job. In fact, there were two families living in the house, Bruce and Bev Gerling and Sandy and I, and we had gone up there to be part of Team Challenge that didn't exist, still doesn't exist. But we thought we were going to start it. We prepared to move there to do something we believe God wanted us to do that never came to fruition, never came out the way we wanted it to, didn't happen the way we planned it. And so we're living in this, two couples in this little house, one woman who is obviously well into pregnancy and one woman who desperately wants to be pregnant and is finding it impossible to get there. Put two ladies in a house. Bruce and I were used to praying together in a refrigerator box. Sandy and Bev had to learn to like each other. Bruce and I learned while we were in the service when we had to depend on each other. Sandy and Bev living in the same house was really tough. And so we've got all those tensions and everything going on in this house. And yet it was wonderful. We lived together for 7 months in the same little house. Still didn't have a job. Had a little bit coming from leave I hadn't used. So we paid the bills. We didn't know how we were going to do anything else. So we celebrated Christmas together. We had very few gifts. No job. Little money, and a baby on the way. Were we really prepared to receive this baby into our lives? Was Mary really prepared to receive the promise of God into her life? Well, let's look down a few verses. It says, beginning in verse 39, "Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth." Elizabeth was a relative. We don't know if she's an aunt, a cousin. We don't know. There's lots of speculation, but we don't know. "And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb.'" She didn't whisper it. When that baby leaped and she was filled with the Spirit, she spoke out. What happens when we get filled with the Spirit? When that life of Jesus leaps in us and we're filled with the Spirit? We whisper. I don't want to embarrass anybody with the excitement I'm feeling. Have you ever seen a kid at Christmas time? Are they afraid of embarrassing you in the store, in the house, any place else? Are they afraid? No. Why are we afraid when we recognize that the Spirit of God has leaped inside, has done something marvelous? I just love this part of the story. "Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb.'" She didn't say, "I should have this. I'm married." You're not even married. You're unmarried, Mary. She said, "You are blessed because God has prepared you. And I get to be part of it because I'm related to you." Hallelujah! Isn't that awesome? You guys still here today? Anybody here? I can see the preparation. "But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." See, Mary was still in doubt. But when she goes there, baby leaps, speaking out under the anointing, the prophetic word of God. And she said, "You're blessed because you believed. And I'm confirming that what you believed is true. You're the mother of the Messiah. You are. And everything God has promised is yours." Do you think Mary was prepared for what lay ahead just because that was said? I don't. Every Christmas is wrapped in the mystery and preparation for Jesus' miraculous birth and His promised return. We're all called to prepare for Christ's coming. This is the time of preparation, the wait before Jesus returns. That's what we're living in, the wait before He comes back. He'll never come back as a baby. He's coming back as King. Hallelujah. That's Christmas. That's the promise of Christmas. That's the promise of His first birth. If He came the first time, He rose from the dead. He said, I'm coming back. He's coming back. Are you prepared? Wouldn't it be awesome if He came this afternoon? I think it'd be awesome. Oh, wait a minute. I know people that aren't saved. I do too, but I'll get saved right after that because I've told them about Jesus. 10 minutes after I leave, we leave, I promise you, my friends are going to be falling on their knees going, okay, I waited just a little too long here. There's going to be a lot of Christians, professing Christians, that are standing there going, why was I left? It's because you didn't believe and obey. You weren't prepared. You were living life the way you wanted to live life, and you weren't ready. Oh, you can't say those things at Christmas time. Yes, I can. They must be said. We need to be reminded. This is a promise from God, not from me or anybody else. You can't be fearful for them. You have to be faithful to them. You just do. If you live in fear, that's not going to raise their faith, and it's not going to raise yours. So you just have to be faithful to them and love them. I just want to show you. Yesterday, I came with two other men. Lonely men. For a craft project that we did. If you miss this craft project, it's awesome. Pastor Amy put all this together. Everything that you see in this little bag is a finished product, not the product that we started with yesterday morning. We had a bunch of little pieces of paper all cut into pieces and all these kinds of things. And this is the 12 days of Christmas, 12 days before Christmas. And it's got a devotion that Pastor Amy wrote by hand, wrote all of them out and put them and made them available to everybody. And we came here and we cut and stitched and sewed and did whatever the song says. And we did this thing. There's a whole lot of preparation went into this little bag. But how many times do we miss out because we're too busy with other things? Or it doesn't fit my sex, my gender. I hate that word because it's so confusing today. People are confused about gender. I don't know why we're confused about gender. There's only two. That's probably why we're confused. God just needed to make one, I suppose. I don't know. But in this little bag is a whole lot of preparation. Whole lot. And as we did it, I thought Pastor Amy was going to pass out when I walked into the room. She wouldn't pass out with Lonnie. Brother Lonnie is wonderful. He's going to show up at whatever party she throws. Whether he wants to be at the party or not, he's going to show up. He's an amazing husband. We could all learn from him. Believe me. So I know he showed up, but then I looked over there and there's Ken Redler. I look around, there's no Kathy. I thought, boy, Ken must really be bored today. That's the only thing I could figure. He didn't know what he came to do. I heard him asking the questions, can I do this, should I do that, how should this go, what should I do, you know, and all that. And his turned out wonderfully creatively. I saw it, you know, and I saw him putting it together and all of that. And so there's three guys sitting here with a lot of ladies doing this wonderful thing, and I wish I could stretch this out and show you. But it's got 12 days of Christmas, and it's got them numbered one, and each one has, it's got them all numbered up to 12, and then the 13th is Christmas Day. And each one has a devotional in it and on it, and then a fun thought that you might want to do on that day with your family. This is a family pack put in a package. A family pack of preparation for Christmas put in a package. Oh, Pastor, now that you've done the advertisement, I just so want to be doing this. I want to make this happen. I want to be a part of that. Do you understand that when the angel of the Lord shows up, when the messenger of God shows up, you have to be there? He isn't going to come back at your convenience to meet your desires in that moment. This isn't a menu choice. It is a time choice that we make, and I'll get that in a minute. There's some things that I see in this story. Christmas is like the season of waiting for the birth of a baby. There's the announcement, and then there's the wait. We don't know the day or the hour when the baby's going to arrive. We don't know all the details of that day. We just know it's going to happen. And we know that this event will forever change our lives. Amen? I don't care what kid you have, it's going to change you. And you're going to change it a lot. That's just life. No baby comes out sterile and clean. Not even Jesus. Certainly not John the Baptist, and certainly not us. And that's true in the kingdom life too. Nobody is birthed into the kingdom of God clean and nice. Have to be cleaned up. Have to be loved up. Have to be taken care of for a while. Hopefully they don't keep living there until they're 30 expecting you to do their laundry. We know this event will forever change our lives. We don't know how, but we start preparing for the birth. And here's what I believe to be basic things we experience as we prepare for this wonderful promise. First, there's anticipation. I remember the anticipation. I wanted to go upstairs and throw up. It wasn't sympathy. It was sheer fear. I know guys, I've got some friends that said they had sympathy pregnancy. It was all about me, believe me. How am I going to take care of a kid? What am I going to do with this child? How am I going to raise this thing? All those thoughts. But birth awakens in Luke 1:38. That's what we see Mary saying. And she says this wonderful thing that, be it unto me as you want it to be. Birth awakens a wonderful anticipation of the possibilities wrapped up in the promise of this child. Anticipation stirs us to preparation. If you're anticipating something, you're going to prepare for it. Amen? So that's what happens. Mary embraced her reality with anticipation without even thinking through what it would cost her. You know, when you come to Jesus, you just have to say yes to the messengers. Yes, now's the time. Yes, it's okay. Yes, now's what's going to happen. You just have to have that anticipation. I don't know how this is going to turn out. I can't plan for everything, but yes, yes. That's where we all start. And then we've got parents and you've got other ladies. I've watched ladies around pregnant ladies. Well, when I had my baby, it was the worst 27 days of my life. And it lasted from 8 a.m. one day till 8 a.m. the next day. 27 days long. I want to tell you, this can go wrong. This can go wrong. This can go wrong. This can go wrong. I had this. I had this. Folks, stop it. Rejoice with the anticipation of the hope that is birthed in the child, in the spirit realm, in the physical realm. Don't tell how bad your life experiences are in Jesus. Tell Him of the hope that you have found through the difficulties and the pain of those experiences in Jesus. Tell Him of the hope you have in Jesus, not the pain you've had because you've been obedient to Him. There's that anticipation that begins to take place, and we see that in these verses. And then there's consecration. I love this in verses 41 to 45. These verses are just so rich when Elizabeth is speaking. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. She was a priest's wife, but here she's being filled with the Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice, said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb." See, she didn't compare her circumstance to Mary's. She rejoiced with Mary, not over her, but over Mary. Because the promise was inside Mary, not inside her. However, the messenger was inside her. "But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be fulfillment of those things which are told her from the Lord." I love this woman. I love this woman. She said, "Why is this granted to me?" She consecrated herself and was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied to Mary and didn't tell her all the things that the Holy Spirit knew about Jesus' future. She prophesied everything God told you will be fulfilled and left it at that. She consecrated herself and she spoke the message that consecrated Mary. And then Mary goes through with the Magnificat, is what it's called, the verses underneath this, where she sings a song to the Lord. I can't believe it either. This is all of the promises of God that we've been waiting thousands of years for. This child is going to change the world, and I get to be a part of that. That's what happened. Preparation requires consecration, dedicating ourselves to what's really important. The preparation forces us to focus. What was once important falls away as we commit to this special event. Amen? That's what we're trying to do. Push everything else aside. Focus on the birth of Jesus. Focus upon the return of the Lord. He's coming back. That's what we celebrate at Christmas. We're not celebrating a baby. We're celebrating the coming King. Amen? That's what we're celebrating. Coming King. Jesus has come back. Hallelujah. That's so cool. Have you ever thought about this? I didn't until when I was preparing this message. Have you ever thought about the fact that the very thing that most of our Congress is now saying is okay, which is killing babies, that it was an unborn child that awakened his mother to the glory of the presence of Jesus while he was still in her womb. Her unborn child recognized Jesus before the mother did. You never know what God is putting inside of you. But if you don't pay attention to what's inside of you, you will not speak out with the Holy Spirit in boldness and clarity and promise and hope. That takes preparation. It just does. Third, there's transformation. There's always preparation before transformation. Like the body begins preparing for this new life, we're being transformed by Christ into our lives, coming into our lives. He, when He comes in, He transforms us. For a woman, pregnancy changes everything from bones to brain chemistry. A physical transformation takes place in her body and mind as she prepares to accommodate the new life that's nestled in the center of her being. Everything changes in a woman. Bones to brain structure, everything changes in a woman. It's amazing the transformation that takes place. And some of the women go, yeah, and I still got that piece of skin hanging down here from those kids that did, you know. And folks, no stretch marks. You haven't been stretched. You've never been pregnant with Jesus. Those aren't battle scars. They're blessing marks. I brought life into the world. Hallelujah. That's what those are. For those who commit their lives to Christ, the same things happen. Mind, body, and spirit are transformed. Everything changes for fathers, too. For the first time in my life, I realized I'm going to be responsible for somebody other than me and Sandy. I really realized that. It scared me to death. When the Lord called me into ministry, I realized I was going to be responsible for a flock that did not belong to me and I did not birth. Scary stuff. And I was going to stand before God and explain to Him what I did with what He put in my care. And like your kids have blamed you for half of the things that they've decided to do and not do, it ain't true. Some of it may be, but that's what happens in this transformation. Neither Zacharias or Joseph. Fellas, just for fun, how many of you, when your wife got pregnant, all of a sudden you found yourself in second place? Let me see your hands. Come on, be honest. That's what I thought. Not very many wives put their husbands first in those days. They're sitting on the couch at 11 o'clock at night and they want pickles just to see if you'll go get the pickles. Did that really happen? I didn't know for 20 years that it was just to see if I'd actually do it. But I was prepared to, and I was willing to, because my love for her and that child was greater than that love for me or what I wanted 11 o'clock at night. That's what changes in a man. You're willing to take second place. You're willing to step aside. Our dreams transformed. Our self-focus to loving like Christ loves us transforms. And then we experience a love for something we've never seen that we didn't know we could have that much of. I remember when our son was born, when I looked at him, it was a terribly difficult birth. It was ambulance rides and everything else. 50 miles, we made it 50 miles in less than 15 minutes, or a little over 15 minutes. I was driving the doctor's car. He was in the ambulance. Just because God gives you promises doesn't mean those promises are going to be birthed easily or in a way that makes sense to you. But I'll tell you what, when I couldn't even hold him. He was in an incubator. The stress on him was so much. Didn't know if I'd have Sandy or him at the end of the week. They both were that close to leaving this life. But now he's this tall, this big, has three sons that are probably all three going to be taller than him. I couldn't have seen that in those moments, but I'll tell you, when I looked through that glass and I saw that little guy, I fell in love with somebody I'd never touched, never kissed, never hugged, and knew that I would give my life for him. In that moment, nothing was more valuable to me than him and her. That's what changed in me. That's what changed when Jesus came into my life. I care about people like you and people that aren't like us. The Lord awakened a love I didn't know I could have. And fourth, there's sacrifice. Anticipation, consecration, transformation are all part of preparation. But the one that's hardest for us is sacrifice. The process of preparation will cost you. It'll cost you your time, your talent, and your treasure. It will affect your reputation, your dreams. It will disturb your comfort. But God's promises are worth it because the Lord is worth it. Whatever sacrifice you have to make, if you'll make it for your baby, you need to make it in a greater measure to Jesus because he gave everything for you and for those you love. And all of your efforts will not get anybody into heaven. It isn't until you're filled with the Holy Spirit, because he's awakened inside of you and leaps, and you speak out prophetically the truth and love that there is in this Christmas season, because you're prepared. As soon as that happens, you're full, you're overflowing. All the promises of God spoken on your behalf are yours. They're yours. They're yours. Because he put that promise in there, and he'll fulfill it. And I rejoice with you. I rejoice with you. All the mothers in Israel had been hoping that one day they would birth the Messiah. But only one was chosen. And only one was ready. As far as we know. But God made the choice. What choices are we making? The bottom line, preparation means we get ready and stay ready for Jesus to come. There will be a fulfillment of his promise to return. Christ's first coming assures us of his return. It just does. Like John the Baptist, we are the messengers that leap in his presence and help others prepare to find hope and life in Jesus Christ. That's what happens. And I want to ask you today, are you living prepared? Are you prepared to let you be the messenger and him being the message? Are you? That's the preparation of Christmas. That's what God wants. Are you prepared today to recognize Jesus alive in you? When you came into church this morning, are you prepared to let others affirm what the Lord has birthed in you? When you come to the Christmas tree, it's just a tree. If you don't have a tree, you'll have Christmas. You can have Christmas in a can, but you can't have Christmas without being prepared. It's like saying, I want the finished product that I can just hang on my wall. I don't want to put the pieces together. I don't want to do the work. Just give me the bag that contains all the promises so that I can hang it on my wall and enjoy what's inside. It takes preparation. We are called to be prepared. We are called. I'm not even going to ask you to stand this morning. I want you to close your eyes and think for a second. You're not going to, ladies, you're never going to have Jesus inside of you. Even if you name your baby Jesus, it's not going to be Jesus. Men, you're never going to carry that child inside of you unless the Lord puts his love inside of you for his child named Jesus. Only Jesus is no longer a child. He's not a baby that we have to care for. He's the king that we're expecting to return that will care for us. As you're sitting there this morning, are you prepared to celebrate the hope of Jesus Christ that was birthed in you by the word of the Lord? By the word of the Lord, Jesus came to life in Mary. By the word of the Lord, Jesus Christ comes to life in you. Are you prepared to bring him into this world? Are you as joy-filled thinking about that truth as Mary and Elizabeth were when faced with the truth? We are the messengers that leap in his presence and help others prepare to meet Jesus in real life. Are you prepared? Well, I've got so many things to do, Pastor. I've kind of laid everything aside. Family's very important. Mary didn't get to stay with her family. Joseph had to go to his. Mary had to go with him. Kind of like my wife had to go with me to South Dakota. Mary didn't know where it would lead, how long it would last. She had no idea. She was from Nazareth. They had to go to Bethlehem, about 100 miles, while she was in the most uncomfortable part of her time before birth. Loving Jesus is not comfortable all the time. Jesus loving you and me is not comfortable all the time. But anticipation eases some of that. Consecration, reconsecrating ourselves to the purposes of God, letting him transform us, and then just saying, Lord, whatever it costs, I'll do what you've asked, because you have prepared me for this. What is the Lord preparing you for? What is he saying to you?